You're listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Today's message, titled, More Signs of His Return, is the third message in our series, His Coming is Coming, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
You know, it's cool. In the Bible, in the book of Ezra, it says that the prophet stood up and the whole Israel stood because it was God's word. And so I'm going to ask you to stand again for God's word, then you can sit when I speak. We're going to be reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Now listen to this morning. Just soak this in because this is awesome. Ezekiel 37, written about 500 years before Jesus was born. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of dry bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' He said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover your skin with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We've entered this house of worship to worship you again, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord God, seeking to understand and to know the mysteries of God. We seek the voice of God in our lives. Father, touch our eyes that we might see what is going on in the world. Touch our ears, God, that we might hear your voice being spoken into our lives in these days in which we live. We pray this for the glory of the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. And we say these things in your most holy name. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And you all may be seated. I want to welcome the missionaries back from the Philippines. Well done, Pastor Jonathan. How you feeling? Yes. Well done. Way to lead. Way to lead, brother. So, are you a little tired?
Jet lagged.
Yeah, a little jet lag. Welcome home. Hey, by the way, our men had a great time last week at the men's retreat. And men, right after the service over in Family Life Center, we're finishing our book, Wild at Heart. So looking forward to spend some time in sharpening iron with you as men. We are having a good summer. Have you all had a good summer so far?
Yes.
Traveling, time with family and friends, right? Hopefully you're getting a chance to rest, serve the Lord. Next week's family camp's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that, being a part of that. So many things are happening here. We started a series a few weeks ago called His Coming is Coming. In the history of the world, has there ever been a nation that existed and then it was conquered and its people deported to the four corners of the earth and then after thousands of years come together again back to their ancestral land? Has there ever been a people such as this? Answer, one. 2,500 years ago, God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 37, God gave him a vision of a valley of dry bones, okay? A vision of a valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel, in this vision, walks in these bones. As the prophet was walking in this valley, God asked the prophet, "Can these bones come back to life again and live?" The prophet answered, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know," which is a good answer. "You are God, I am not. Only you know the answer to this question. Only you have this information." In verse 4, God told the prophet to prophesy and speak to the bones. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life again. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord." So the prophet does as the Lord says, and in the vision, the valley of dry bones comes back to life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Who do the bones represent? What does the bones coming to life mean? You should take notes. You should take notes. In your worship folder, there's the scripture on the back. There's a listed notes. You all need to take notes on this and stare at it hard and long. Because God is speaking through these bones. You ready? These bones are identified as the whole house of Israel. Write that down. These bones are identified as the whole house of Israel. The bones being dry indicates that the nation has been dead for a long time. Write that down. The bones coming back to life again represents Israel, who had been non-existent as a people on their own land and scattered throughout the nations. The bones coming back to life again represents Israel, who had been non-existent as a people on their own land and scattered throughout the nations. The reborn bodies picture Israel's ultimate national restoration in their land in the end times. Do you get that? God doing this is a sign to the world that they should believe in Him. Y'all write that down? You got that? You letting this soak in? 500 years after this prophecy, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 21 that Jerusalem was going to be surrounded and destroyed, and that the people of Israel were going to be deported throughout the Roman world. And they were in 70 and 132 AD. The Jewish temple was destroyed, as Jesus said it would be, and the Jewish people were deported out of their land and sent as slaves throughout the Roman Empire, just as Jesus said they would be. They became a valley of dry bones. They ceased to exist as a nation in their land. Do you understand? But the miracle, friends, of the Jewish people is that for 2,000 years, they were preserved as an ethnic group. They maintained a national identity without a homeland. And this is unprecedented in human history. Has anyone in here ever met a Jebusite? Or an Amorite? A Canaanite? Is any Canaanites your neighbors? Has anyone in here ever met a Jewish person? Raise your hand. Amazing. 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 After World War II and the Holocaust, the cry of the Jewish people to return to their homeland hit a fever pitch, and they returned after 2,000 years by the tens of thousands. On May the 14th of 1948, that was an incredible day in the prophetic calendar. Because the bones are brought back to life after 2,000 years, the nation of Israel was brought back to life. They were reborn. Can anybody say miracle? Can say that. It's a miracle, right? Now, I go to, as you know, I travel to Israel every 2 years. And for those of you that are going with me, we've got 34 people signed up so far to go to Israel. I'm a little afraid. That's a lot of people, but we're excited. Your first day, those of you that are going with me, your first day in Israel, Sarah, our Messianic Jewish guide, who is an evangelist in the land, she'll be on the front of the bus, and she's going to be driving you through as we're going through Tel Aviv, and she's going to take us by a building, and she's going to tell you about an archaeologist, and his last name's Herzl. And Herzl, in 1948, was an archaeologist who was staring at the beginning of the shreds of the Dead Sea Scrolls. He was staring at 2,000-year-old scrolls of the Bible and was stunned and amazed at what the little boys are digging up out of the desert in Israel. And he's staring at scrolls 2,000 years old, the Bible. And he hears honking and screaming and shouting in the streets. And he goes out and looks out his window, and the people are dancing in the streets because Israel, the nation, has been reborn. And this man, tears streaming down his face, goes back down and says, God has given us back our Bible, and God has given us back our land after 2,000 years. And Sarah in the front of the bus will ask, is it possible that dry bones can come to life again? And she'll say, look out your window. As we're driving through a reborn Israel. It's awesome. Can anybody say miracle? Miracle. Is that a miracle? Yes. It's a miracle. How does this happen? God. Y'all get that? Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done it. I have done it, declares the Lord. Do you know? Do you believe? You should. Because it's a sign for you. And it's a sign for all of us in these last days. You should. 2 weeks ago, started a series called His Coming is Coming. Is that true? How do we know that it's true? Because of stuff like this. In Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Jesus says the temple will be destroyed and the people will be deported. But he also says the temple will be rebuilt and the people will return before he comes again. You can't have a Jewish temple without the Jewish people in the land. In the last 67 years, the Jewish nation has been reborn. According to the scriptures, it's a prophecy fulfilled. The temple is coming. It's prophecy going to be fulfilled. I'm telling you, people, his coming is coming. The Jewish people being brought back to their land and their nation being reborn in the Valley of Dry Bones is a huge sign of the last days that we're living in. Can I say that one more time? I want to underscore this. Big, bold font. Here it is. Ready? The Jewish people being brought back to their land and their nation being reborn out of dry bones in the living flesh. That happening is a huge sign of the last days that we're living in. It's huge. And if that has happened, what else does the Bible say that's going to happen? It's like you've got this, and then you start layering on top of what's going on, and it's awesome. For example, if the Bible says this is what the world's supposed to look like when Jesus returns, that one, the special nation being dead and coming back to life again is going to happen, what else does the Bible say is supposed to happen? Take notes. Ready? How about a cry for peace and safety in the land of Israel? Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, Paul says, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know well, for very well that the day of the Lord, it's a part of the second coming of Christ, will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Sounds familiar of Jesus in Matthew 24, doesn't it? With the prophetic rebirth of the nation of Israel, it brought and brings war to the Middle East. And with wars and rumors of wars in the last days before the return of Jesus, there will be a cry in the new land for peace and safety. A desire, a wish, a hope, a dream, a pursuit for peace and safety that 1 Thessalonians says will not happen. Did you know that ever since the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the United Nations and every American administration has tried to bring peace to the Middle East? Here are just some of the names of few of the initiatives. You ready? The Camp David Accords of 1978, the Egypt-Israel Peace Treaty of 1979, the Reagan Plan, September 1st, 1982, the Oslo Accords, 1993, the Jordan-Israel Peace Treaty of 1994, the Camp David Summit of 2000, the Clinton Parameters of 2000, December the 23rd, the Arab-Israel Peace Initiatives, March 28th of 2002, the two-state solution under the present administration. Have any of these brought peace? I'm going to give you a secret this morning. Don't tell anybody. No peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace comes. And that's the Bible. Administrations can try all they want. The United Nations can waste as much time as they wish. But there will be no peace. None. But it is a sign of the end times. Before the coming of the day of the Lord, there will be this cry for peace and safety in the Middle East, in the land of Israel, particularly contextually. No peace. Israel being reborn, huge prophetic. With them comes wars and rumors of wars. And with them will come this desire and this heart for a dream for peace and safety. There will be none according to the Bible. Friends, come with me. Next year, these people hate each other. Go, come to the old city of Jerusalem with me. These people hate each other. You're going to sign a peace treaty. It's a mess. There is no answer to peace in the Middle East without Jesus Christ. There is none. It's a mess. What else does the Bible say the world will look like before the return of Jesus? What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Do you know? Matthew 24, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Take notes. The gospel will be preached to all the nations. Jesus says, then he will come. 2,000 years ago, he said this. Could you imagine the poor apostles listening to Jesus saying, "Jesus, when will be this your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus opens his mouth and just lets it out in Matthew 24. And as he comes in, he says, "Okay, guys, here's the deal. You go preach the gospel to every nation on planet Earth, and then I'm coming back." Could you see their eyes get real big? Poof. Okay, so I'm traveling at the speed of horseback or donkey or sail, and you want me, us 12, to go preach the gospel to all the nations of the earth. You know, they did a pretty decent job. Andrew made it to Britain. Thomas made it to India. That's a tall order. How about 2,000 years later? After Jesus says these words, is the gospel being preached in all the world? Did any of you watch on 9/11 the memorial service at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C.? It was actually September the 14th of 2001 at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Do you guys remember this? You should go online and watch this, because ambassadors, heads of state, dignitaries from all over the world came to the United States and mourned with the United States at what happened on 9/11. Every nation was there except three that I know for sure. Did you know North Korea didn't seem to make it? And Afghanistan didn't come. Taliban. They were happy, right? And I don't think Iran was able to make it. When you watch the memorial, the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., guess who came up and gave the sermon? Billy Graham. And as he came up, do you know what that man did with all the nations, heads of state of all the nations in the world present? He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to leaders from every nation on the planet, almost every nation on the planet. And I was sitting there watching this, and he started talking about Jesus and the cross and sin in salvation, in hope, in no other name besides Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no other name. And I remember watching this going, oh my goodness. He, in one sermon, is preaching the whole gospel to all heads of state and nations of the whole world. And I was thinking back to Jesus saying that this gospel will be preached to every nation. And then I'll come. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said it. What about today? What is the world supposed to look like before the coming of Christ? The nation of Israel being reestablished is huge. The peace and safety, that's just a sign of the gospel be preached. Is this happening in our day, friends? Is this happening in our day? You better believe it. What else does the Bible say that the world's supposed to look like when Jesus comes back, before Jesus comes back? This is a fascinating scripture found in Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, because in the book of Revelation, it says that once Jesus had come back and once Jesus had judged the earth and judged mankind, it says this, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." Jesus comes to judge those who destroys the earth. Surrounding the third temple, the coming of Jesus, people are singing praise of judgment, especially of those who destroyed the earth. 2,000 years ago, when this was written, how was mankind destroying the earth 2,000 years ago? Think about it. What were they doing? Burning trash? Right? I don't know. 2,000 years later, is mankind destroying the earth in our day, today? Look around. Are we? Do you know that right now we're celebrating? Well, we're acknowledging the 70th year since we dropped the atomic bombs on Japan. Do you know what an atomic bomb does to the atmosphere? Do you know for the last 100 years, mankind has been destroying the earth alarmingly? Alarmingly? Destruction of the wetlands, tropical rainforests is gone. Our ozone layer that protects us from the ultraviolet radiation of the sun is wearing out. You look and you see like oil coming up out of the ground and polluting the oceans. Like in the Gulf of Mexico a few years ago, the nuclear waste from the earthquake in Japan. Do we live in an age, friends, here's just a question. Do we live in an age where the earth is being destroyed? The scripture says that when he returns and judges, he says mankind will be guilty of destroying the earth. Is that happening in our day? I'm just curious. Would you say yes or no? Yes. Isn't it amazing that a book said this 2,000 years ago when the worst that mankind could possibly do was burn trash? Look at the days in which we live. The nation of Israel being here. Peace, peace, there'll be no peace. The gospel being preached to all the nations of the world. The earth will be being destroyed by mankind before the coming of the Son of Man. Are these things happening in your day? What else? Jesus in Matthew 24 quotes the prophet Daniel. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation that was spoken through the prophet Daniel, Jesus quotes Daniel chapter 12. If you ever read Daniel chapter 12, obviously Jesus had. Says this, now know at that time Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time your people, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. These to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal them up until the end times. Topic is end times. Last days. Goes on to say many will go back and forth. And knowledge will increase. In those days, in the time before the last days, what will increase? Knowledge, information. In the time of Abraham, in the time of David, they communicated with hand signals, papyrus paper. They carved stone. They traveled at the speed of horseback or sail. They clothed themselves with an agrarian economy of plants and animals at the time of Abraham and David. Did you all know in the times of George Washington, 4,000 years later, he communicated with hand messages, traveled at the speed of horseback and sail, clothed themselves with an agrarian economy of plants and animals. In the last generation, friends, in our generation, we have learned to communicate at the speed of light, travel at the speed of sound, and we create the very atoms and molecules that we desire for synthetic fabrics of our clothing. We are in the information age. Knowledge, travel has increased big time. Do you understand? I had a relative in our family, Cousin Isabel, who she said she was going to live to be 100 years old, died at 99 years old. This lady grew up on horse and buggy. That's how her parents traveled her. In her lifetime, she watched a man walk on the moon. Horse and buggy, walking on the moon. How much information needs to happen between this and this for travel? Awesome. And that was in the 1960s. Does anyone have the new iPhone 6? Amazing. The technology, the information age that you and I are living in today is astounding. Astounding. The Bible says that in the last days, before the coming of Jesus, the nation of Israel will be reestablished, and there will be a cry for peace that will never come. He says the gospel will be preached into all the world and then Jesus will come. There will be an increase of information in those days. There'll be a destruction of the world happening in those days. Are they happening? I know you're probably very busy people and you probably got a lot on your to-do list. But if you all would just look around for a moment and see what God's doing, you'll take a deep breath, a deep breath, a deep breath. What else? What else does the Bible say? How about an increase of atheism? Did you know the Bible, written 2,000 years ago, said that before the coming of Jesus, that there will be a spirit of the age of mankind where they will say there is no God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 5 says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For ever since the beginning of time, ever since our fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning. For when they maintain this," these mockers maintain this, "it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago." These mockers in the future, in the last days, when they mock at the idea of the thought of the coming of Christ, they will maintain, it will escape their notice, that by the word of God, the heavens existed. A generation of mockers. That everything that has come into being came because of nothing. There is no God. Can you imagine, can you believe that there would be a group of people in the world that would deny the creation of the world was by God? Can you imagine that these people could possibly exist? Did you know that if you were to ask a person in China or Europe or America 2,000 years ago, if they believed in some deity that the world was that created the world, they would say yes? 2,000 years ago? Did you know 1,000 years ago, if you had asked these people, do you believe in some deity that created the world? Guess what they would say? Yes. How about 500 years ago? Would they say yes? How about 50 years ago? 50 years ago, if you were to ask people in China, Europe, Middle East, if some kind of deity created the world, what would they say? I don't know. Probably not. The Bible says that a new naturalistic philosophy in the world will take place in the time before the coming of Jesus that will deny that God created the heavens and the earth. Is that happening in our day? Are you kidding me? That's the spirit of the age, isn't it? Through billions of years of time and chance and natural selection, all came into being through nothing. Is that what's being taught in the world today? Answer? Now check this out. The Bible says that was going to happen 2,000 years ago, and it's supposed to be on the earth before the coming of man. Do you understand? Are you with me? The nation of Israel being reborn, dude. dry bones coming to life again, the nation of Israel being reborn after 2,000 years, is a huge sign of the times that you and I are living in. Huge. Throw on top of that the spirit of the age where they will ask for peace and peace, where there will be no peace upon that land, and there has been none and there will never be none until Jesus returns. Throw on top of that that Jesus says that the gospel will be preached to all the world and then he will come again. And here we are 2,000 years later, and look what's happening upon the world. Jesus, the scripture says that when Christ returns, that mankind will actually have the ability to start destroying the earth. And here we are in these days in which we live. The Bible says that before the coming of the Son of Man in the last days, there'll be an increase of knowledge and information. And look at the world that you and I live in today. The Bible says in the last days before the second coming of Jesus that there will be a naturalistic philosophy in the world that says there is no God. His coming is coming. Can you all say that with me? His coming is coming. Say it again. His coming is coming. Are you ready? Stuff with the Supreme Court, this is just a sign of the age, friends. How do you explain when the Bible says this and it happens like this? How do you explain it? Is it all lucky guesses? Is this just a big book of lucky guesses? Ezekiel 37, 13 through 14 says, "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." God is doing all of this. God is doing all of this. God is doing it all. And God is at work today. Okay, now I want you all to take a deep breath with me. Ready? Let this sermon soak in. Let this sermon soak in. I want you to close your eyes with me and bow your heads. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come forward. I have great news for you. The age that you and I live in right now is called the age of grace. It's an age of patience of God. Because God wills for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But we read in the Bible that there are days coming when God's patience will run thin, and that will begin what's called the day of the Lord. His disciples asked Jesus, "When will this happen?" And he explained to them what the world will look like in the last days. When you read the Bible, friends, we live in exciting days. Good news is that the Lord God Almighty today desires for all to come to repentance, for all to come to faith, and for none to perish. The invitation that God has for you and I in this room is come. All you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus invites you to come into him today, to rest in Christ. Father, I pray that this sermon this morning would bring faith to your people and encouragement to your people. Lord, I pray that hearing this, the words of God today from the scriptures would help us, God, to see the urgency of the days in which we live, for truly these days are evil. Lord, we lift before you the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. God, help us in this room to be ambassadors for the Lord God Almighty and for His kingdom. Lord, help us to proclaim the Lord Jesus in our streets, in our families, in our workplace. Whenever opportunity arises, God, Lord, help us, Lord, to see Your plan for the world and to join You in Your purposes on the earth. God, help us not to get stuck in the minutiae of today, but to see what You are doing and be amazed. For You indeed are coming soon.
My shame for God.
Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you on this Sunday morning. We've come to worship you in this house in spirit and in truth. Lord, we've asked you to open our eyes and help us to see. And we've asked you, God, to touch our ears that we might hear your voice spoken through the word of the living God, that we would hear your voice deep within our hearts. Lord, may we recognize this day that there is no better day to follow Jesus than today. There is no better day to follow Jesus than right now. Lord, I pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit upon my brothers and my sisters, upon me this morning. Would you give us, God, a sense of perspective, a sense of urgency, a sense of purpose, a sense of direction, and a sense of courage to follow your Son, Jesus. To pick up his purpose of redeeming mankind. Lord, would you use us in this room to be people, instruments of healing, instruments of forgiveness, instruments of peace? God, help us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Help us to represent Jesus well, God. Give us a heart to follow you, Jesus, to live for you, and if need be, die for you, Lord, in these days. These awesome days. Lord, there's still so many people that still need to hear. God, we have family members that still need to hear about Jesus and receive the Lord. Please don't come back today, God. Give us time to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. Help us, Jesus. And yet, God, praise the Lord that your coming someday will happen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.